11
of the Dark Match.
Yeah.
There you go. Hello. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us if you're watching us live for Dark Match number 11, Wrestle Kingdom 13. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And we are going to cover pretty much everything that we watched from Wrestle Kingdom right here on the Dark Match. Some of you may know how this already goes. Some of you may not. Basically, we may take a few select events where we just watch them. And right after we're done watching them, we get on here and we talk about it with you. So if you're watching us live, thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and log into the old YouTube app on my phone and see if you could log in with me. That way you can chat along with us on the live chat. You can ask us questions, give us your opinion of the event, fact check us, talk shit, or just say hi, whatever. And I'll see it here on the old handy dandy smartphone, and I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show. Chris, where the hell did you go?
Poof, like a ninja.
Oh, you forgot your fucking tablet with all your notes? Yeah, that was sitting on the couch over there. All right. Yes, do you see how well prepared we are?
Fuck it, let's do it live.
Dat Pro guy. Hey, what's up, Dat Pro? Haven't seen that dude in a minute.
Man.
What's up, man?
Where the fuck have you been?
Oh. Been gone for a while.
Get him. Get after him.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey,
hey, oi. Yeah. All right.
If you're not watching us live,
that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or just leave us a comment right here on the YouTube app itself, and we'll see it, and you know, we'll interact with you or chastise you there. Dat Pro says, in my opinion, the event was good, but the results were shit house.
Ooh.
That, sir, is a hot take.
Ooh.
Chris, we didn't watch all of New Japan, right?
You didn't watch all of New Japan.
You watched all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I with you, we only watched five matches?
Six.
Six matches. What were the matches we watched?
We saw.
Collectively.
Ibushi versus Osprey.
Uh-huh.
We saw Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah.
We saw Juice Robinson against Cody. We saw Jay White against Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah.
We saw the double main event, Tetsuya Naito against Y2 Jizzle. And then we just finished watching Omega versus Tanahashi-san.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Cool.
The bell rings. Tanahashi's the winner. First thought of the entire event that you saw. Do you agree with the pro?
Kind of, slightly, a little bit. I feel like New Japan's done a lot in the last couple of weeks to appease white folk like me. Well, I'm not white. But, yeah, I'm not Japanese.
You married one. You're getting there.
Yeah, I'm close enough. So
Neville over here.
Yeah, I know, right? Kind of feels like some of the stuff that they did with the main event stuff, they're like, all right, well, let's just kind of go back to our old bread and butter there. And I hate making this comparison because the comparison is overmade when it comes to Tanahashi and John Cena. But this kind of felt like, all right, CM Punk had his run. Now let's give the title back to Cena. You know, that's kind of what it felt like to me. I mean, I don't hate Tanahashi. I'm kind of bored by him sometimes. I don't get hyped over Tanahashi. And I know like a lot of people do, especially the Japanese audience, they really get hyped over this guy, but I'm like, meh. Hey. You know, like I don't tune into New Japan to see Tanahashi. I don't tune into New Japan to see Okada. You know, I tune in to see Naito. He's cool. I tune in to see Zack Sabre Jr. That's cool. I tune in to see Ishii. He's cool. You know, but mostly over the last couple of years, the thing that got me out is the Bullet Club. You know, mm-hmm. all the Bullet Club stuff. The Elite, Cody, Kenny, you know, all that shit is kind of what hooked me. But now the Bullet Club's kind of gone, and you got this fucking milquetoast fucking Jay White guy that's now at the head of it. And I don't know, man. Okay. I don't know.
Before I give you my rebuttal. All
right.
You two are not the only ones here, so it's not as hot a take as you think. On our Facebook page, Elmer, weak, as in weak-ass champions. Rene Correa foreshadowing. Jeff Derrickson option, as in a better option for Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay.
Joe Harris Jr., awesomeness. Jeff Milheim's Cody. Dillard Robert Howland III, Japanese. And Elias Morales Loredo. Wow.
Okay.
Those were their descriptions, first of all, about Wrestle Kingdom in general. We normally would have more, but I know several people that are trying not to bust their nut yet. They haven't seen any of this yet. They're trying to avoid spoilers. Okay. So this is a very niche episode today, so there's not going to be that many people watching, which surprisingly, I'm surprised we have as many viewers as we do right now.
That Pro Guy says, as an Aussie, I tune in for the Bullet Club and for the Elite nearly exclusively, other than Zack Sabre Jr. and Will Ospreay.
It's obvious out of you, Arnold, and I've watched the most New Japan stuff out of the three of us.
Correct.
So I'm a little bit further along the curve to where 3 years ago, I might not have been hyped for an Okada match, but because of what I've seen him do lately, fucking four match of the year candidates, regardless of who is with, he was a part of it.
Yeah.
Now I'm hyped for Okada, which I wouldn't have been last year. Now I'm hyped, again, Tomohiro. You know, I might not have been hyped for him 2 years ago when my just first impression, I didn't know what a Stone Pitbull was.
Oh, love the Stone
Pitbull. But he earns it now. Like, I'm all over it now.
Ibushi,
same thing. Oh,
Ibushi's badass. You know,
we saw him with Nakamura, and I was like, holy crap, that's a whole lot of sizzle on that steak, but I wonder if it tastes good. Now that I've digested Ibushi, I'm ready for seconds, I'm ready for thirds, I'm ready for all you can eat. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm not feeling Jay yet, but it's not deterring me from Jay. He's getting the reactions he should be getting. He got noticeably booed against Okada in that match.
Yeah.
You know? This, for me, more than anything, felt like a pilot.
A pilot?
You know, they announced before we started watching Wrestle Kingdom, they're doing two nights of Wrestle Kingdom. Saturday, January the 4th. Sunday, January the 5th.
Next year.
I felt like this was a pilot to see if they can actually, if they have enough content or they have enough star power to pull it off. You know, when you're losing effectively Cody, the Bucks, possibly Omega, Hangman's not there anymore.
The villain,
Marty Scurll's not there either, as far as I know. You're going to have to make your own homegrown talent. They got Juice. They got Ishii. They have Sabre, even though that's not homegrown, but he's forging his own niche there. Jay White's another guy. Again, commentary made it very clear. 2018, he's beaten Omega, Okada, and Tanahashi. And we didn't get to see this afterwards. He challenged Tanahashi. He wants to be next in line for the strap. Twitter, so does Jericho. He's not done with New Japan either. So this is them forging on.
Is he not?
So this is their attempt to do. I think they outsports entertain WWE. To be honest, you know, every Wrestle Kingdom is the event where I'm assuming I'm watching 6.5 hours of fucking people beating the fuck out of each other.
Yeah,
the main card was less than 4 hours.
Okay,
you know, this was not the match where every match was 45 minutes. Oh my god, blow your brains out, crazy freaking indie wrestling. There was a lot more storytelling in a lot of these matches than I expected. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if hardcore New Japan fans were caught off guard almost to the point that they almost started to kind of dislike this pay-per-view because you train yourself in stamina waiting for this event to be infinite. And when it's finite, you're like, wow, what the hell happened?
Well, I mean, Dat Pro in the live chat says I won't be watching New Japan anymore, period.
What the fuck? Oh, again. Well, yeah, because he's pretty much exclusively Bullet Club Elite.
Yeah.
So with the Elite gone and Bullet Club being basically the Tongans, Jay White.
Which I don't care too much about the Tongans. And Gato. I don't give a fuck about Jay White. I mean, okay, Gato now. Big whoop. Like, man, I don't know. Like, and I kind of feel bad for somebody that's been wanting to say that I like New Japan. When really, I don't really like New Japan. I like the Bullet Club. I like the Elite. I like the foreigners that are invading Bullet Club. And it kind of makes me seem like they have a good product, but I don't like their good product. I like the
niche in their product.
The bastardization of their own product by our fucking Western mindset. That's what made it interesting. The bastardization internally by the fucking, you know, Westerners. Mm. And I thought it made for an interesting story, but I also only like that. And I kind of feel what Dat Pro is saying in the live chat too with that. But man, I don't know. Like,
pick a match that you want to delve into. Out of all six of the matches that you saw, which of the one would you say is on the top of your list? That's the match of the night.
Man, Ishii. The Ishii match?
Ishii versus Sabre.
Sabre?
Go for it, man. Preach on.
Well, okay.
Defend yourself in this case.
I really, really enjoyed this match because on paper and even before the match started, I was like, this match is not going to work or it's going to be ugly or it's going to – no. But I'm intrigued. How are they I don't know. And then it happened, and it was perfection, man. It was so good. Oh. I loved the strategy of both guys. Well, I mean, there was really more strategy on
Sabre.
On Sabre's part than –
She just bangs things.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it was. You know, he was countering and, you know, grappling and doing this and that and, you know, trying to taunt him. But even the announcer was saying, why would you taunt this guy? He likes it when you hit him. Don't hit him. But no, he was, like, kind of taunting him so that he would throw a swing back so he could grab it and counter it and do all kinds of crazy stuff to it. Like, there was thought to it. But then Ishii at one point was like, boom, fuck you, headbutt. Boom, fuck you, shoulder tackle. Like, yeah. Wait, you fight me like a man. Why are you not fighting me? And then he just would, you know, get frustrated and knock the fuck out of him. And I really, 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 really liked it. It was really good storytelling for how a particular wrestler would win a match in their own mind, you know? I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the finish as well of that match.
Did you see that finish coming?
No, I did not. Like, yeah, I keep seeing pretzels being made in that match, you know? But I didn't expect this particular pretzel to be the one that would end the match. Oh, but it did, because where the hell is Ishii going to go? Mm-hmm. He had nowhere to go.
This felt like the finish felt like a UFC fight where once you're in a corner and you're fucked, you're fucked. And it's safe to just ring the bell to the point that Ishii actually told the ref, yes, I give up.
Because he couldn't tap. He had his arms like.
He couldn't go anywhere. What the fuck's he going to do?
Yeah.
You know, the part that I liked about the finish, for a guy that's just boom, 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 he's deceptively nimble as fuck.
Okay, yeah.
There was a lot of matches that we saw where the ending was like an overdosage of chain wrestling. Which is not a complaint. That's something that New Japan does very well, better than maybe any other promotion that's around in the world. But you look at a guy like
Ishii. Well, that's so different than Strong Style.
You look at a guy like Ishii and you don't think he can go that fast.
Right.
But then when you see him keep up with these counters and counter the counter and then counter, 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 counter.
Yeah.
To the point where, holy fuck, that was 30 seconds and he's still like in this.
Yeah.
You know? I wanted the shit to keep going. Like, out of all of the matches here, this one and the opening match, I felt like, man, if you would have given me 5 good minutes or 10 more minutes, I still wouldn't be complaining that it was too long.
Okay.
I still would be wanting more. But again, a lot of this card felt more like, instead of an all-you-can-eat, we're giving you New Japan in courses. This is the first course. You want some more? Come back in a month. We'll get some more. You know, instead of every match, blah, 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 45 minutes, 45 minutes, 45 minutes, 45 minutes.
Near fall. Yeah. Strong style. Yeah, this show did have quite a bit of different matches. You know, because that match, you know, it was chain wrestling that was trying to be countered by brute force, right? Mm-hmm. But then we also had the match with Naito and Jericho. That was just straight up hardcore style match, which is cool. I like Naito. I obviously have been a fan of Jericho for a long, long time. This is Jericho's wrestling the style that he would have wrestled if he wasn't wrestling the style that's popular now back in ECW.
Yes!
You know, like he kind of fucking flip-flopped that shit. Back in ECW, he was doing the technical, doing New Japan
stuff before it was cool.
And now in New Japan, he's doing the old-school, hardcore ECW fucking throw you through the table for nothing.
But the best part about that in Jericho's situation is that, for the most part, it's new to the New Japan audience. So Jericho can do what he did last year with Omega. Jericho can do what he did last year against Naito in the first match. Jericho can do what he did a few nights ago in Wrestle Kingdom. And you hear the it's one thing when you're just a hardcore brawler like most of the old school ECW roster was.
Right.
Then there's actually telling a story, 50 Shades of Grey style, where Jericho's beating the fuck out of Naito with that kendo stick. And he has Naito in the walls.
Yeah.
The audible gasp from the audience when Naito reaches out and for the first time ever grabs the kendo stick, because they're putting pieces of the puzzle together. They know what the fuck's about to happen. Mm-hmm. When do you hear that in hardcore matches? When do you hear that in ECW? When do you hear that in Impact? Where do you hear that in PWG? Where do you hear that in any of those matches? Fuck, even in WWE's like pay-per-view, hardcore like label pay-per-views, where do you hear that kind of reaction when they build up to a spot, a hardcore spot like that, where the audience gets the payoff like that, where you hear it and you hear it and it's and that validates that all this is working.
Usually it's a Michael Bay, ooh, look at the destruction, look at the big explosion kind of spot. But here it was, oh my God.
The fuse is lit.
Oh my God, the fuse is lit and he's about to hurt this guy and I'm emotionally invested. It's not, oh wow, check out the explosion. It's like, oh my God, all those people died in the explosion, you know? Like, it's a little bit different of a reaction because of the way the story was told. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Dak Pro was saying that the Jericho match was his favorite of the night. I think that's what he said. Here, let me go back through what he said. Jericho and Naito was the best, possibly Omega Tanahashi.
You want to go into Omega Tanahashi?
Yeah, I think that was the best match of the night.
Ooh, okay.
Oh.
Your ears perked up when Don Callis, again, flawless by Kevin Kelly and Don Callis and the South Park guy, was just kind of like ham-fisted in there.
My God, guys, this is such a great match. I'm not your friend, guy.
Your ears perked up a bit when Don Callis compared this to Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, and him and Kevin Kelly were going off of experiences being in WWE during the late 90s when that was going on.
And I could totally see that story.
Really?
Yeah.
Before or after they mentioned that?
Well, before they mentioned it, I was thinking more, I think I maybe mentioned this earlier in the episode tonight, it was more Punk Cena. But Punk Cena was a retelling of HBK and Bret Hart. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like the old baby face who wanted to keep the tradition and the style of the old way alive and was resisting the change of the new hip heel, but he's hip, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. And that's kind of what happened here. Well, the only exception is that it wasn't HBK that won. It wasn't CM Punk that won.
It was Brett.
It was Cena. It was Tanahashi.
This was like...
Now... Looking at this without the lenses of, okay, All Elite's doing a thing. He's probably moving on. You know, Kenny's probably doing his own shit, working with All Elite. And you know what? Maybe he's even entering the Rumble. We don't know. I mean, that's the big rumor.
And again, even if you enter the Rumble, that's not a guarantee he's there.
If you don't put on those glasses and you just look at it through the eyes of what's happening kayfabe in NJPW, if you just look at that and that's it, that was the wrong fucking call to make, man. The wrong fucking call. At least for a guy like me, I don't know. There may be people out there that are like Cena kids when they're Tanahashi kids,
I think,
who just fucking love Tanahashi and think it's the best thing when he wins 15 championships and almost break Rick Flair's fucking record. But
this is, I think,
Robert. Oh, what's up, man? And Scott, the
what
Scott.
The fuck? Scott, you the should Scott. Be here, man. You watch most of this with me on Friday morning.
Oh yeah.
This is one of those examples where. We're not the New Japan's not placating to the loud minority. I think people outside of Japan, it's easy for them to keep wanting Omega because Omega's still fresh. Omega's their favorite. Just like you, they might feel the same way Omega's, that they haven't been watching New Japan for the last 10 years. They don't have the hook of Tanahashi the way right. Japanese people do.
Omega is the thing that's getting them into places like LA. Dallas, fucking anywhere in the States, anywhere in the fucking UK, anywhere outside of Japan, it's because of Kenny Omega and the Elite.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah, it's the easy money grab to say, hey, look, we're going to placate to these fans so that we could grow our base. But I think maybe if you don't know all the fucking behind the scenes stuff, you don't know that maybe Kenny and Cody and the Bucks are fucking leaving to do their own thing. If you don't look at it that way, it could be just. Maybe they're trying to go back and give a bone to their fans there that are homegrown right there in Japan.
Mm-hmm. I think that told a very updated version of Mickey Rourke's The Wrestler. Because if you're paying attention to that match, the thing that helped me out the most on this match, again, just like you, just like a lot of the audience in the States or around the world, where I'm at with Ibushi, where I'm at with even Okada, where I'm at with Ishii, from when I started watching New Japan to now,
yeah,
I'm not there yet with Tanahashi. I'm watching this
match.
There
you go.
I'm watching this match primarily because of Omega. Now, I wasn't thinking at all Thursday night, Friday morning with the glasses of, oh, shit, he's going to Elite. Oh, shit, is he going to go to the Rumble? I was thinking, all right, I wasn't like this with Okada. But if you tell me in Dominion we're going to get a 60-minute time limit match rematch between Omega and Tanahashi, if you retell the entire fucking story you just did with Okada, but you tell it with Tanahashi, and it's just as good or better, this time next year I will be a fan of Tanahashi as much as I am right now of Okada, of Ishii, of Naito. So I wasn't thinking already, oh, he lost, he's gone. Okay. And I'm still not thinking that. Until I see it on the telly, I'm still assuming Kenny Omega, even if the Elite and Kenny didn't show up at New Year's Dash at all, which they didn't, I'm still not thinking it that they're gone because they could be fucking teasing. Because hardcore wrestling fans...
We still don't even know exactly what All Elite Wrestling is going to entail and when and what. Yeah, we know about the fucking double down, double stacker...
Rally that's going on this week to announce.
Double or nothing, that's what it is. Double down. What the fuck? Yeah, but we know that they're doing that. But is this just a second off? You know, because how All In was a one-off. Is this their second off, and then that's it? How many offs are they going to have? We don't know how many offs are going to have.
How many
have
offs
yet.
Do you normally have?
I usually two. on a good day, three. But that's – I can't count on that yet because right now it's just rumor because I haven't heard anything official other than the Being the Elite where they fucking showed the fucking cell phones and they were like, hey, look what I got, this neat little graphic. There's no fucking details.
Yet.
But New Japan, they're going. Coming to motherfucking Dallas. So it's like, who's a little bit more ahead of the curve? Who has their shit together a little bit more? Right now, New Japan does. So if they're smart, they're sticking with New Japan until they can't ride that horse anymore. But when are they going to transfer to the new horse? I don't know. Hector! Holy crap! What's up, brother? Hector says this. What the hell are y'all doing talking about this on a Sunday? Well, we just watched it. We got together. Me and Chris had a nice little date night watching wrestling.
Again, I've said this before in wrestling in general. When the commentators come across less of commentary and more like the fans, it's easier for you to just get sucked into the narrative. Every single announcer, even the high-pitched South Park kid, everyone at one point in that match agreed, Tanahashi ain't winning this shit. He's old. He gonna die. He gonna die three times. He damn near died when he got inverted suplexed off the top rope and his face went like that off the goddamn mat.
Yeah.
They told a completely flawless underdog story of the old man. This is what they should have done with fucking Kurt Angle in WWE. This story is what they should have done with Kurt Angle, because okay. That's what they did with Tanahashi, the old man that had no right to be there. Oh, he won the G1, but he ain't the next coming of Superman. He's been Superman for a while. Now we got Superboy, who doesn't age.
This would feel like to me if Becky were to wrestle Natty and then Natty won the title from Becky just like right now. Like, what? Okay. I mean, I like Natty, but you got new hotness going with Becky. You know, why the fuck are we putting it on Natty?
I think you're focusing. It's the way the story's being told. WWE right now, the story told is Becky's on fire and everyone's getting near her is getting burned.
Yeah.
The story in New Japan is that last year Tanahashi got the ever-loving fuck beat out of him by Jay White, and no one knew if he was even going to come back to wrestle. He showed up at the G1 and started whooping motherfuckers, somehow beat a younger Kota Ibushi and won the tournament. And now he has to face a younger, better, stronger, faster champion in Kenny Omega against all the odds that have already been placed on him so far, and he won the match.
Okay.
So it's again, that goes back to, oh man, I love Kenny so much, it sucks that Kenny lost. But you're only looking at the half of the story that the fans want to see. They're not looking at the other side of the picture. And that's the other side of the picture that they explained in detail in Japanese. But they explained in detail to where you're watching. And the commentators were slamming it home every 5 minutes that this is a match that Tanahashi has no business in, let alone no chance in hell of winning.
Yeah.
And the crowd, for some reason, didn't want to let go of Tanahashi at the expense of keeping Omega. Tanahashi. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. The Japanese audience still loves Tanahashi. The American audience still loves John Cena. Mm-hmm. And there's like a lot of hardcore wrestling fans, no matter where you're from, who don't understand that sometimes. Yeah. And I feel like my refuge from Roman Reigns, my refuge from John Cena, my refuge from Randy Orton was New Japan. And to see that there's a little inkling of that in New Japan makes me go like, fuck. This isn't my safe space. You know? Like,
wow. Okay.
But
I'm not hating you on that. I'm just surprised. But
that being said, I do still think that that match was the best match of the night. It's just, I don't know if I necessarily agree with who won. Now, when we talk about best matches of the night, what about you? Do you think that's the best match of the night? What was your favorite match?
He is not my match of the night. Mostly, if anything, because like I said, I've invested 1,000% in Omega. I'm not at the same level or anywhere near relatable with Tanahashi. They told just as good a story, maybe just as good a story, with Ishii and Sabre, because again, I've kept up with it. Okay. I was at Strong Style Evolved in Los Angeles when the tag match Zack Sabre tapped out Ishii. You know, Sabre's owned Ishii this year for the most part. You know, Ishii beat him to get the British Strong Style title earlier in the year last year, and now with this victory, freaking Sabre got the shiny new Rev Pro belt. Now he's 3-time champ. But that's a situation where I'm invested in that story. I'm invested in both the characters. If either guy won, I wouldn't be pissed. If any guy lost, I wouldn't be pissed. And it was another match where maybe 2 or 3 more minutes, I've wanted more, and I still want more. But that's kind of the point, you know. And that goes back to the original assessment that fans have been brainwashed, tricked, trained to where Wrestle Kingdom is going to just close a lot of storylines and then you're going to start all over at New Year's Dash or New Beginnings in Sapporo or whatever. But the fact that they left a lot of this open, you know, a lot of matches, for example, like the opening match, that's the first time ever we've seen it in New Japan. This match where Ishii
was the match?
Ibushi versus Will Ospreay.
That was a good-ass match too.
Woo!
That was a good-ass
Arnold, match. Who is not here tonight, was watching some of this yesterday.
I think so.
And he said, first match in, he's like, oh my God, this is art. This is beautiful. This is perfection. Oh my God, I need a cigarette. And all I told him was, bitch, you got 8 more matches. For again, the past 4 years, we've had a match of the year candidate at least from this event.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's possible that the three of us could have 3 different matches because there was so much on this match. There was so much on this match.
I hate to beat a dead horse, but if you had to pull the title off of Kenny, so that because Kenny's going off to his own thing, and you had to put it on a New Japan guy, presuming that Kenny and the Elite and Cody aren't poaching him away, I would have bought it 1,000% more if he had dropped the title to Ibushi and not Tanahashi. Because all of the story this past year, they could have just had another fucking match. And this time, he fucking wins it, wins the title. He's the only man to ever kick out of a lonely angel. Have him kick out a fucking again and have him win.
And I even said that when we talked about the G1 Climax last year on this show, where I think they kind of missed the ball on putting the opportunity to Ibushi, even if he didn't win against Omega. He could have dropped it at New Year's Dash, or he could have not dropped it at the next event or whatever. But the fact that they went with Tanahashi even then, I think that's where my anticipation started to drop a little bit on the possibility of this match. Because I agree. I think I'm not sure if Ibushi would have been ready. But
no, man, he's ready. So many people fucking love him. Even the Japanese audience loves him.
Storyline-wise, the way the whole Bullet Club and Elite thing and Golden Elite thing's going, I'm not sure if the crowd was ready.
Okay.
To see Kenny drop it to Kota, especially if Kenny wasn't coming back and Kota was still staying there. But it would have been ballsier to try something with someone new instead of go to the try and true.
That's something that I am lacking, especially from WWE, all the goddamn time that was my refuge in New Japan, that they were willing to do the things that are a little bit more ballsy.
Not to mention that I think, for example, WWE
no disrespect to the Neverweight Championship.
Yeah.
But it is a Neverweight Championship.
Even to the point where even now, if they pull the trigger with Braun at the Royal Rumble, I think it's too late. You guys seem to might forget this. Just last year at the Royal Rumble, we had Lesnar versus Strowman versus Kane. We had Lesnar versus Strowman twice. We had Lesnar in the meat soup with Strowman and Joe and Roman. You know, we've done this so many times that by now, like, it won't even feel like they're trying something new if they give it to Braun at Royal Rumble. Because they've already that's another example. Like TNA, they pulled the trigger too late on Joe. I feel like they have already pulled the trigger too late on Braun. I feel like they pulled the trigger too late, but they could have put a barrel in the chamber if they had Kota Ibushi main event this against Omega instead of doing it with Tanahashi. Yeah. But again, that goes back to if everybody else is invested in Tanahashi, then it makes sense. But for me personally, I'm just not there. We started with Ibushi versus Ospreay. You know, normally this card builds from the bottom up. This right. year, they wanted to make a statement. They wanted to go off with a bang. And
I think they did. That was a good-ass match to start the show.
Yeah.
I really, really liked that match. I really, really liked it. Ibushi and Ospreay was good. It's probably like the second or third best match on the card for me.
I feel so bad for Ibushi. They mentioned a lot in this match. They tied a lot of loose ends in this match as far as Kota Ibushi's idol was Shinsuke Nakamura. He even did the Bomae, even the pose like Nakamura did before he delivered the Bomae and Ospreay. I remember that match 4 years ago where Ibushi, the young up-and-comer, there in New Japan. You know, he'd wrestled DDT. He'd been here and there, Noah. But there in Japan, he's wrestling his idol, Shinsuke Nakamura, the older guy,
right,
just
right.
like our main event. And somehow Nakamura pulled it off. Now the roles are reversed. Kota, compared to young Will Ospreay, Kota's the older guy. Ospreay looks up to him. Ospreay's looking to beat Ibushi to actually cement himself as a contender in the heavyweight division. You would think Ibushi would know better than to pull the stuff that he pulled with Nakamura. And he completely took Ospreay off. He was not taking him seriously at all. He did not expect what he got, you know, to the point where you see some of those facial expressions on Ibushi, what the shit that Ospreay was doing. And he's like, fuck, it feels like this whole thing just passed me by.
Yeah.
They told, both of those guys told such a good story. And that's another one where it was short and sweet and you want more.
I definitely do want more.
Shit. If this main event's G1
and
or another pay-per-view,
that's another reason why. I mean, you said that they framed Kota as being the old guy passing the torch to the new guy. All the more reason for me to say that, like, give it to the guy that's the old but more current guy than the old guy.
Yeah.
To me, drawing another WWE fucking parallel here, it's like if you gave the belt to Ric Flair instead of Batista or Woo! Randy or Randy Orton, you know, yeah. Like, okay, Evolution is fucking kicking ass. Evolution's, you know, it's like Flair's an old mentor. He's not the guy that's going to win the title. You know, yeah, we get it. 15-time world champion. We get it. You're the legend. 2-time WWE Hall of Famer. 16 times. Sorry. Yeah, we get it. You're Rick fucking Flair. But in Evolution, you're the old guy. You're the second fiddle. You're the backup. You're the Mr. Miyagi. You know, you give the belt to Batista. You give the belt to Orton. Maybe to Triple H if he's being a dick.
Or if he's clean shaven and looks younger. Lenny makes him look old.
And Stephanie's pregnant. You know what I mean? You know, like. But you gave it to Flair? Really? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
The other thing with the Tanahashi.
So here's
where I put the nail in it.
All right.
That not only are we focusing on the wrong story, it's easy to say, oh, shit, Omega lost. Tanahashi has the belt. We went back to it. There, I think by this time next year, Jay White will either have been or will be heavyweight champion in New Japan.
All right.
Because they're telling that story that Jay White is like murdering fools.
Someone, I think it was Hector. It was either Hector or that pro. And a little while ago, we're talking about Jay White. I can't remember which one it is. I'm not going to scroll all the way through. But they're bringing up Jay White. All right. Jay White had a decent enough match. I'm not sold on Jay White. Okay. I'm not. But they're bringing up the point that the story is he's gunning for the title.
He's the new Okada.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And it helped that I'm hyped for Okada now. That's okay. Why I wanted to watch this match. Okay. I told you there were 5 matches I wanted us to watch. This match wasn't on the list before I saw it. After I saw it, I thought you would want to watch it.
The Jay White match.
Jay White versus Okada. Again, okay. The only non-title match on the card was this one. Jay White didn't look bad.
He didn't look bad, but he didn't look... Here's my problem with him. He felt to me like Baron Corbin.
Oh, damn!
In wrestling style, okay? Not in the way he's packaged storyline-wise. Storyline is a completely different animal. But I feel like the way he wrestles isn't this 5,000 RPM breakneck speed, holy shit, this is awesome kind of shit that you see out of Omega, out of Ibushi, out of Naito, out of like all these other guys that you tune into New Japan for. Not even like Styles and Nakamura. He has like this style where it's like...
Like Orton, slow?
Like Orton, like Corbin, where it's like not flashy at all. Even Orton has flashes of stuff. You know, the punt where it was like, oh my God, the punt. But of course, it made him stop doing it. But then the RKO from out of nowhere. Like, that's real cool. But he doesn't have anything. I mean, even Baron Corbin's got the fucking spinny round slam thingy. Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Deep six.
But, like, he's got a sister, Abigail, that looks better than the fat guys on WWE. But what's that fat guy's name? Bray Wyatt. He's got
– hurt Arnold's feelings.
He's got a sister, Abigail, that looks better than sister, Abigail. But that's about it. Like, I don't like anything that he does in the ring. That doesn't mean I hate what he does in the ring. It's just nothing has been like, ooh, I want to look at this guy. You know? It's just an
– And just for argument's sake, okay. How many Jay White switchblade matches have you seen?
Three.
Three, okay.
I think
Three, you think.
Well, I watched this one. I watched the one from Wrestle Kingdom last year, and there was another one somewhere in between, I believe. Yeah, I think it's three.
Because he's only had the Switchblade character for about a year. I've seen Jay White wrestle before he became the Switchblade in New Japan.
Scott the Scott says he's sold on Jay White.
Okay. And he goes fast. He's a cruiserweight. He's a lightweight. He bounces around. He's a pretty good pinball. But there's a lot of pinballs in New Japan. You need to have a color. You need to have a shape. You need to have something that stands you out. So, I think
Tanahashi bounces around more at like a pinball than this guy.
If you're in the right machine,
I guess so.
Jay White, I've seen a couple of matches of him as a Switchblade where if he needs to go that fast, he will. Remember, he beat Omega for the U.S. title.
Okay.
And so you have to have a set of balls to hang with the speed and the characteristics of Omega.
Or you can just have shitty booking. He's not the one who decides if he wins the match.
If you ever get a chance, go back and watch that match and see if he still have that feeling. Because there's moments where if he needs to go, he'll go. And as soon as he's done, he drops it back down to the cruise control.
Let me draw another comparison then. This is what I'm hoping happens with him based on what you say. What I'm hoping is that I don't feel like he's Baron Corbin where it's like, but more like Cien Almas, where I was like, Cien Almas?
Yes.
But then I was like, ooh.
And then
I was like, oh.
And now? God.
Book him better, please. Do something with this guy, please. Because
you know
please.
What he can do.
Yeah. That's how I feel about Cien. Maybe I'll feel that way eventually about Switchblade, but right now I'm like,
it helps that they paired him up with the main booker of the company. I mean, you're with Gato. I mean, they see something in you. You know, they need the next Gaijin, the next outsider to be the next star of the company, and Omega's out.
Dat Pro says he's too bland. Nothing to separate him from the generic bloke. Which generic bloke? I guess they're all
a generic bloke.
Hector says Jay White is at the same point as when Okada first started. Look back at the beginning of Okada, and they will be the same person. Okay. All right. I believe you. I'm just not there yet. I hope you're just right. I hope that the new leader of the fucking Bullet Club is somebody I actually like. Because when you look at fucking Prince Devitt, when you look at AJ Styles, when you look at Kenny Omega, when you look at Cody, holy fuck. And then you have Jay White. And it's like,
even with
one of these things isn't like the other.
And it's weird because when Cody first became the leader, it's easy for you to see. Even with that analogy, that Cody doesn't look like the others. But in time, he brought something different to the table that made him just as valuable, if not more valuable, than Kenny Omega, than AJ Styles, than Prince Devitt. So maybe this is another scenario where you need to give him a little time to grow to see if he can bring something different. Instead of trying to fill these other shoes, wear your own shoes. And if you do it well enough, you'll stand out just like everyone else stood out.
Well, we've been talking a lot of in generalities about Jay White. Let's talk specifically about this match. Jay White versus Rainmaker.
That fucking finish, dude.
That was a good finish. You want to know what my thought was?
Go for it.
My thought was the Bullet Club's dead.
Whoa! You know Jay White won the match, right?
I know, but seeing Gato out there with the Bullet Club shirt that is it's a knife theme and not a gun theme, like it doesn't really make sense. And it's like, Gato? Really? Like the Bullet Club has had a lot of comparisons to NWO, but there was always that hopeful glimmer that maybe they won't fuck up the Bullet Club the way they fucked up the NWO. When did they fuck up the NWO? When they started flip-flopping people back and forth into it when they nearly didn't need to, and then when they split off between, you know, the red and the red
the wolf pack and the pack classic
and all that shit and all that, like they tried to keep away from it pretty successfully in the Bullet Club, I would say, until now we have the Firing Squad, but they're kind of not really.
That's the Bullet Club now.
That's the Elite, but the Firing Squad isn't the Firing Squad. They are the Bullet Club, and the Bullet Club has Sting, who's not supposed to be in the Bullet Club, and that being Gato. Gato's not supposed to be a part of the Bullet Club. Gato is part of Chaos, and he's supposed to be on their side. Him switching sides isn't, oh my God, what a turn, like Hogan turning on and creating the NWO. No, it wasn't like, holy shit. It was more like, oh, that's stupid. Like, it's different. And I feel like it's starting to get to that point where all of a sudden Booker T is a 5-time champ and he's running WCW. Oh, like, that's how I feel with this booking with Jay White. This particular match was good, but the way the shit fucking worked out, I'm like,
the way the story's been going with the way Okada.
Nasty Nate! What's up, man?
Fuck? People coming out the goddamn woodwork tonight.
He said Virgil should join the Bullet Club.
I was expecting, to be quite honest, I know I'm going to look stupid. That's not the first time. It's not going to stop me. The way they were building this story.
I'm sorry, hold on. Robert says, I can't help but think about Billy Kidman when I look at Jay White.
Oh, no. He had that one match with Hogan, brother.
Okay, Hector has a good counterpoint to what I'm saying. Hector says, this match signified the end of Chaos. Not the end of Bullet Club, the end of Chaos. Okay. But hasn't Chaos been dead anyway?
A lot of these cliques, they're just there at this point.
Yeah.
I still see myself as a casual New Japan guy. I don't know how long a lot of these people have been here. A lot of these groups like Chaos, Suzuki Gun, all that stuff. I honestly was thinking
Incontrables. Like, I don't know who any of them are except for Naito. And Naito just goes out there by himself now.
This feels like 98 WCW has gone on for 6 years, at least. At least for me. I don't know if it's been longer than I've been missing out. I expected Jay White to just come out and blaspheme. I was like, you know what? All this time he thought I was a leader. Nope. And then out came Tanahashi.
No.
Yeah, because Okada and Tanahashi have had this long rivalry, and now Okada's like left out. His mentor's gone. Yeah. This new guy that's trying to be the next Okada, and on top of all that, he has the one guy that Okada has like a bad record with in the Wrestle Kingdoms against, and now he has to overcome all that? I would have... You want to make up for losing Matt, Nick Jackson, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, Cody Rhodes. You have to do something that's going to make noise. New Year's Dash, there were some great matches. Nothing happened. Every year, it's like, oh, shit, AJ kicked out Prince Devitt. Oh, shit, Kenny Omega kicked out AJ. Last year, oh, shit, Jay White refused to join the Bullet Club and beat the shit out of Omega and ran before he got his ass beat. There's always something that happens at New Year's Dash. And this year, I don't know if I missed it. But there was nothing that happened. It just was. It was like the episode of Raw, like the episode of Raw in between two pay per views, where it's like, it's just there.
There's a question for a match that I specifically did not watch, so I'm gonna ask you about.
Maury,
have we talked about Tama Tonga's Predator helmet yet? There was a Predator helmet?
Yes, they wore masks to the ring. One was Predator. The other one looked kind of like a semi-Spider-Man Venom kind of looking with the eyes.
Was it cool?
I liked it, yeah.
Okay. But you told me I didn't need to watch that match. Why did I not need to watch that match? Because that was coming up, and you're like, oh, fuck this. We can fast-forward this one.
You know why? Because your attention span's very short. You were actually on your phone for some of these matches.
I was.
Yeah, so I wasn't going to try to add more to your plate if I knew you weren't that hungry.
I had XP and gold to collect on my Sega Heroes game, okay? I had to log in.
So I didn't want to bombard you. Besides, I didn't know how long I had you here for. Evil and Sonata won the belts.
You got me all night, baby.
I only need a couple of minutes. Evil and Sonata won the belts. Young Bucks lost. Shocker. All the Bullet Club people lost, except Taiji Shimori. But it was a pretty good match. The last match that you and I saw together that we haven't talked about, Juice Robinson and Cody.
Yeah. We didn't talk about this match.
Go for it.
I didn't recognize who the hell Juice Robinson was.
Because you missed that part where he just became flamboyant, Juice Robinson.
Yeah,
you just saw Juice, and then, what the fuck is that guy?
Like, who's this?
Pimp.
Who's this, like... Velveteen Daydream. Like, who is this? like Velveteen Dream just like got a few shades lighter and chunkier.
That's like Velveteen in HD.
It's like
1080p.
It was like great value brand Velveteen Dream. And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? And they're like, oh, that's Juice Robinson. And I was like, oh shit, that's Juice Robinson. Oh fuck. Wait, what? Why? What? Okay, I guess.
Fans are digging him.
I guess.
He gets the reaction. All the girls, Jesse.
Yeah.
Another good match by Cody. They've got chemistry, these two. This is the first time that they've wrestled. And goddamn Brandy. Mm.
Oh, fucking Brandy, dude.
She's freaking speared Juice, and Juice sold it. And then Brandy, like, full mount on him, just, like, trying to drop female punches on him. And he, Tiger threw her out, which I don't think I've ever seen a Japanese wrestling match in New Japan where they throw out people. They're just, like, there. But Tiger, like, you gotta go. I'm gonna spy. Bye.
Didn't Tiger retire?
Yeah, that was his last night.
Okay.
Wrestle Kingdom's his last night. He's gone.
Okay.
Fun match, man. I liked it a lot. A lot of transition here. Damn near, I think every title changed hands.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Cool. But I mean, were they all for the better?
That was just what I was about to ask you.
Okay.
Overall, there might be some misses. There might be some big hits. What do you think? Does this Wrestle Kingdom hold up to last year, the year before, the year before, the year before?
No. Maybe it's because it's a little bit different than what I was expecting. I you kind of said this as a pro, but in some respects, I actually see this as a con, where you were like, hey, at least not every single match was 45 minutes of near fall finisher. But some of this just was like WWE light. Some of it was New Japan's version of trying to do shit WWE does. You know, like, dude, be yourself. You know, if you're going to be 45 minutes of strong style where finisher kick out, then be yourself, man. Like, you don't have to be like WWE to get people to buy tickets to go to Dallas. Like, I'm going to Dallas to be fucking strong. Strong style.
You're going?
Well, if I had money, I'd be going to Dallas. Just to... It all comes down to money, sir. Provided that I have money, I'm motherfucking there. Provided that I have the cash to do it, you know.
Even post Wrestle Kingdom?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, I mean, there's enough positive equity that, yeah, sure, this Wrestle Kingdom wasn't all that great. There's enough positive equity built up where, dude, New Japan is fucking 4 hours away instead of a 4-hour drive away instead of a fucking 2-day flight away. Yeah, I would like to go to Dallas. Ugh. Okay,
He fucking fell for it.
Oh, damn. I need a bucket. Dallas.
Oh, and the Cowboys won.
Oh!
Even when the Texans lost.
Dallas.
Imagine if they're the ones that win the Super Bowl this year.
No!
I just broke Abel. You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This, for me, holds up to the rest of the Wrestle Kingdoms to the point where I think if
I'm watching all that on the playback there.
If we go back in for later on down the year and we go back and watch this pay-per-view, a lot of this will hold up. I think a lot of it will. I was a fan of it. I'm already ready to go to both days of Wrestle Kingdom next year.
To Japan.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Okay.
Yeah. I'm there.
You better fucking bust out that lingo.
As a matter of fact,
download some motherfucking apps to learn Japanese.
As a matter of fact, I was off Friday because I needed the day off so that I could sleep. And I texted my branch managers like, "Look, I'm gonna need the first 10 days of 2020 off." I said, "Okay,
all right."
So I'm like, shit, I'm there, man.
All right,
I'm sold.
This
event like put the cherry on top. I'm ready to go. But We've had 4 years of a match of the year candidate from this event.
Correct.
Before we get that far,
okay,
what is your match of the night? Is it still Omega versus Tanahashi?
As much as a shit over Tanahashi winning, I do still think that was the best match.
Ooh.
So yeah, that's my match of the night. What about you?
Abel loves Dallas. He dreams of moving there and opening a small bakery that specializes in donuts.
No, I don't. Fuck Dallas.
Fucking Ishii Dallas. Versus Sabre.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. With Osprey Ibushi a very close second. But damn, there's at least four matches on here. Omega Tanahashi, fucking Naito Jericho. Either one of those four. Like, if I wake up in a week, it could be Jericho versus Naito.
You know,
next month it could be Omega versus Tanahashi. God damn, this for me.
Wrestle Kingdom every year is kind of a problem for us. And the reason why is because it comes the week after we do our fucking year-end episode every fucking year.
Well, you've already watched 7 hours of wrestling, and now you gotta watch four more.
And we pick a match of the year candidate or a match of the year pick. And then it's like, ooh, Wrestle Kingdom turns right around, and we're like, again. Oh, fuck, here's another one. But I want to reference something that came out of that a week and a half ago when we were doing it. We rated Jericho and what's-his-face pretty low on the list.
Y'all did. I did it. Right. I had mine pretty high.
Okay, me and Arnold did.
But...
And you asked me. Tonight.
Before we went live. That's right. Go for it.
You asked me tonight, was this match better?
Jericho versus Naito.
But then 2018, Russell King, or not Russell King, but Jericho versus Naito in 2018. And I said, yes.
Jericho versus Omega from 2018. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad you're on the same page with me because I'm not. And I said, yes, I do enjoy this particular match with Jericho better than the previous offering from last year. And that match was on the Match of the Year candidacy list. However, last week I thought that match shouldn't have been on the list. Mm-hmm. This one that's better, should it be on the list? No, I don't even think it's the best match of the night. So if I think that the best match of the night is Tanahashi versus Omega, yet I have so many misgivings about it, I don't think it should be on the Match of the Year list. So that's...
And I'm pretty sure Arnold's been DOA ever since that fucking Ibushi Osprey match. We obviously haven't heard from him since. That could be his match of the night. So we have different opinions on it. Then ain't nothing going to make the list. So we're starting off 2019 with a clean slate. Literally.
So. Okay. Hector says, I feel Osprey versus Ibushi should be on the list.
Ooh.
You know, if my knee-jerk reaction is that the best match of the night was that main event, even though I have a lot of problems with it. I don't have problems with that match.
Osprey versus Ibushi.
I don't. No, not... well...
There's nothing wrong with cookies and cream.
Well, see, the match I'm actually thinking about, I'm sorry, was Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr. My bad.
Well, I was loving that match.
That was a match I'm actually thinking of. When I read that, I was thinking the different match. I got my Japanese guys that whose names start with I confused.
I'm not your buddy friend.
I'm not your friend, guy. that's actually,
God damn it, you! I need to tell these motherfuckers. He ruined Wrestle Kingdom for me. Because when we were doing the match of the year a couple of weeks ago, we're doing listening to the commentary, and the young guy, the Japanese translator who decided to be the third man in the commentary table, he made this remark that he sounded like a guy from South Park.
Like one of the dudes from Canada from the South Park.
So every time, Friday morning, I'm watching it live, the only thing that's keeping me awake other than the action is my unbridled anger for Abel. and I'm stewing. And
he sounds like a dude.
And then Scott right there, who came over to watch the match with me, the show with me, he's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And I told him, this motherfucker Abel just ruined it for me because this announcer sounds like some different sound bars.
It's not Callis, it's not Kelly. No, it's the third guy.
It's a Japanese translator.
That third guy.
I forgot his name. And then Scott started noticing it, and he sounds like
one of the fucking Canadians from fucking South Park.
Dirk is there. Right.
Oh my god, that's Naito, and he's gonna have a great match today. And I'm like, so we're from Canada, that's what's all boot.
God damn it.
Jericho said, I'm not your buddy, friend.
Man,
as is custom here in Japan, the match will start with a ceremonial bow.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
Does this mean we don't have a match of the year for the first time in 4 years after watching Wrestle Kingdom?
We do not.
Wow.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, there's four different matches. I saw everything. There's four matches at least. Maybe five if you add the light heavyweight title, where I would throw that on there like in a heartbeat. So, So that's it, man.
So I don't really know a whole lot about all the different cities in Australia. But apparently this certain Australian thinks he knows a lot about different cities in Texas. He said,
where are you from? Are you from Perth? Are you from Sydney?
He says, Houston is the equivalent of the red light district of Texas. Bro.
Red light like the porno studio?
You might be right. But at least we ain't Dallas.
I said this once. I said it 1,000 times. If assholes could fly, Dallas would just be one huge airport. But I hear the beer there is good. So I might have to put my blinders on.
And Hector's kind of putting his foot down. He says, Ospreay versus Obushi and Omega versus Tanahashi and Sabre versus Ishii, they all fit the mold for a perfect match. They all have a story that they further, and they all kept you entertained.
Well, let's if you feel that way, let's start narrowing it down a bit. I agree with Abel that because Tanahashi won, I personally wouldn't put that on my match of the year.
Okay.
Let's start with that. Then it goes down to which one of the other two, because that I don't think there's a flaw in either one of those matches.
He says, I live in Perth. It's basically
I got it right.
He says it's basically Austin with Australian accents. So in other words,
so you're like all weird. Douchebags.
You're all weird.
Y'all walk topless.
Hippie douchebags that like are all stoners.
And you're oblivious to everything around you. You know you got poisonous spiders everywhere there, right? But you gotta be topless though.
Yeah. And then Scott goes, what's wrong with the red light district? My man Scott the Scott. Fuck. Okay, I'm sorry. What were you gonna say? You were about to make a point.
I don't know which one of the two matches I would pick.
All right.
They're both the same.
So Ospreay versus Ibushi or Sabre versus Ishii.
But to avoid overcrowding,
that was a problem last year. We had 10 goddamn matches on our match of the year list when three of them, in my opinion, could have not been on there.
So here's what's going to have to happen. I will not be here this Wednesday because I'll be at a concert.
Oh, really?
Hopefully Arnold will be here this Wednesday.
Hopefully Arnold fucking shows up.
Or not here, but at a studio.
Because if we can't be at your place, that means we have to be at my place. Yeah. So we'd have to be at HWRHQ.
If
Arnold
decides to show up,
yeah,
decides to speak, decides to agree that either one of those two matches, Ibushi versus Ospreay or Sabre versus Stone Pitbull, deserve to be on the list, then we'll have to revisit the topic when the three of us are together. All if right. he says something completely different, then that's it. We're not having any match of the years where if it's not unanimous. So if he's not here, we can't solidify it until he's here. Because it's fucking tiring to watch 8 hours of wrestling in a day where it's all good shit.
Oh, my bad. It was Robert who said – Robert? Robert said he lived in Perth. Really, Robert? You lived in Perth? Wow, okay, cool.
But yeah, okay, so that's interesting. So
then, yeah, I look at Robert and I see that he looked not.
Nah, yeah, I know, right? Huh. All right. Anyway, so yeah, we'll just have to revisit all that, but you know how that goes. When we're like, eh, we'll check back next week, and you never fucking do. So, probably this Wednesday we'll have an episode with me and Arnold if we hear back from Arnold, because we didn't hear from him at all today. But yeah, hopefully it'll be me and him. If not, I'll figure something out, and then we'll see if we can revisit all this stuff. Get his opinion on some things. If not, maybe we need to turn to the Facebook and see if we can get some of your opinions, Hector.
If we can't agree on it, it's done. It's dead.
Okay.
It's dead.
Oh, we're
dead.
Fucking cinching that shit up this year, then, huh? Mm-mm. Oh, okay. Well, sorry, Hector.
You could have came.
Oh, yeah.
Then he's going to tell me, well, I don't know where you live. It's like, man, everybody knows where I live.
No, you know, I don't know where you live. I just fucking show up here.
You keep coming.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
Coming back for more and more. All right. Doubt it'll happen if it's up to Abel to remember. You know what?
Damn!
Fuck you, man.
Shots fired.
Why? Damn. Why are we happy that this dude's in the live chat? Fucking
that OG firing squad right there. That's it, man.
So next Wednesday, 8 o'clock Central. This is the next Wednesday. Wednesday, 8 o'clock Central. Please tune in for another episode of HWR. Until then, adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Arigato gozaimasu. Done. Kamaha! Ha ha ha.